Welcome to the Messianic Message. I'm Kimberly Rogers Brown.
I'm probably going to forget everything anyways. Kadesh, I'm just going to elaborate. Kadesh Barnea, that's where the water, where Moses hit the rock and the water came out. If you read the story, wherever Zin is, when they arrived to Kadesh Barnea, where the rock was struck, wherever Kadesh Barnea is, it's north of Mount Hor, because it went south of Mount Hor. Aaron's tomb is Jordanian, right? Aaron's tomb is under Jordanian jurisdiction. They know exactly where it is. There's a chapel up there. People go to it all the time. So if you know the story, I'd say it's a logical assumption, if you work it backwards, that Kadesh Barnea is north of there. And if you read the story past Mount Hor, they go to the Red Sea. They're going towards it by way, and they go south. And then at some point, this is all, we already read it, so I'm not rereading it. They go around through here somewhere, through Aqaba. They have to, because the pass is right. We are 7-8 miles from the pass right now.
Yeah.
They went around, and then the story says they ended up near Moab on the east side where the sun rises. So they were somewhere, they went in a U. They went from south to north. Now, I want to respond to this first. The archaeologists say that there's no proof, but I will say this. There are laws with folks that we're with, and the UN frowns upon also getting to know the desert on the east side of these mountains where these things have been happening. It's not really allowed. We know that there's legal issues with bringing metal detectors. You can't have trucks, radio penetrating equipment, so we don't really get to know the more, so the archaeologists are full of garbage. We know that this stuff all happens on the east side of the mountains we're sitting at the foot of. This stuff did happen. It did. And there's a lot of anecdotal evidence, urban legends and myths, certain locals in Jordan that they find it. So there's that. The other thing is, because Mount Hor is known to be south of Kadesh, many of the Palestinians and Jordanians that live in the areas of Tefila and Karak and Petra and Ma'an, they believe that Kadesh Barnea, where the water comes out, is actually called Wadi Musa, and that it happened at a location called Wadi Musa, where there is a spring on top of a mountain, and the water is still rich, cold. I think all of us have been there. It's really cold, it's really fresh, it's really good. I drank it straight, didn't treat it, didn't get sick. And that village, Wadi Musa, is where Petra is. So it's highly possible, and there's some archaeologists believe that it is the same general area, because that area was it became the Nabataean capital and the Edomite capital, but this may not have been the case at the time. So that's why that's up for debate. Because Basra would have been the capital too. Did they wiggle in somewhere to Kadesh and then have access to stuff? We don't really know, but Basra's not that far away from either. But I don't know how long it was until Edom set up its capital from the story if they were all Nabataean now or whatever. And Edom means Adam, right?
Yeah.
Is it kind of the same thing?
No. Edom is, in that means red. Adam means red.
So we're
similar. Adam means earth. And so then you say Edom, it's the same word with a different vowel sound.
Mm.
This is the thing about Hebrew, it has no vowels. So it's like the kasad and kesed. You know, it's the same word, but it has a different meaning in context.
What color are these mountains?
Pink.
There's a lot of red mountains here. It reminds me of the flesh, our flesh. We're in Adam, we're in Edom, we're in pink salt, flesh, the dryness. Crossing through, and that sucks, but we're here. We wish you guys would all come and join us here soon, as we're waiting to cross in the promised land, because it is...
And you had a comment.
Yeah, it was your first statement that they should have gone ahead and fought then. So you're saying right then when the Edom king came out, they should have changed.
No. No, when the 10 spies went across in chapter 14,
okay. They
should have come back and said, yeah, we can go and take those Anunnaki and we can, you know, fight those giants and we can take that land. It's a good land. Let's go. But they came back with 10 bad spies and 2 good ones, but still they ended up fighting wars. See, they didn't want to fight wars. That was part of the problem. But they ended up fighting wars the whole time. And at the end of Numbers, we're going to see where they had to fight five kings all at the same time in order to get into the land. And by the way, that's very similar to something that's prophetic. We'll get to that later on. But no, I didn't mean that they should. Because they did engage the king of Edom when he came out.
But that was subsequent to the initial. It wasn't when he first came. They packed up. And, okay.
And that's two.
Yeah. Okay, again. And what's the representation? 12
tribes.
Two good.
Yeah.
Well, the two good, the one was from the tribe of Judah. The other was from the tribe of Ephraim. It's a prophetic picture of what
of the northern,
of the northern southern tribes, mm-hmm. and the split that seemed to always be in the kingdom of Israel, the 12 tribes, and that is still splitting them today, even though Yeshua has restored 12 tribes. They refuse to believe it. Christians want their portion, Jews want their portion, and Christians want Israel to be what Christians want to be, and Jews want Israel to be what the Jews want Israel to be. They don't want what Yahweh wants Israel to be. But that's the prophetic picture of those two.
Oh, you know, it reminds me of, okay, so I want to live outside the land of Christians. They can have that. So they're living on the east side of the river, living in Moab and Ammon and all that. And then Jews are, we're going in the land. And you guys don't come back. I mean, yeah, that, I mean, that problem was really clear right there. Wow.
And that's why, you know, the Israelites in the West, the westernized nations led by America, want to bring this thing that I was talking about last night, the Jordan option. The Jordan option is where Jordan becomes the Palestinian state and Israel becomes the Jewish state. And the promised land was never promised to the Jews. It was promised to all Israel, all 12 tribes. But that's Joel's prophecy is about they're going to divide Yahweh's land.
Mm-hmm. So you're seeing the north and the south.
Yeah. And Israel, yes. And sometimes they're in cahoots, and sometimes they're not.
And we're approaching a time they
probably won't be. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, and that's the same thing, the pattern we were talking about last night. Mm-hmm. I did never bring that up, was the Civil War in America. Mm-hmm. You know, and then the Civil War too. It's weird because a lot of it's along the same lines all over again. You would think we would get over whatever racism or whatever. I don't know. I don't even understand all this stuff.
Right.
I'm not there anymore because I knew it was just another piece of the fracture because it's, yes. You know, people are arguing about politics and you they know, don't get it.
And I will say this. I don't want to talk about the news. We can talk about it later. But we got something from a friend last night, Raphael. Trump has been in Texas talking with Governor Patrick about seceding Texas. Now, Texas has the legal right to secede from the Union. What that will precipitate is the beginning of the Civil War, the first one, you know, where other states will say, hey, we're going to do that too. And then now we have a repeat of the Civil War, if that happens,
Wow.
Back to that again. And in the mix of this, though, is something that we didn't have in the first time around, which is Russia and China. But the first time around, what we had was France and Britain.
Yes.
You had two nations still involved in civil war, okay, from across the Atlantic. Now you have one, or both of them are from across the Pacific, Russia and China.
That has to happen as part of bringing people here anyways, because
right.
Israel needs to come home.
Because, right. And we've got these Christian preachers on Flashpoint 2 days ago saying, you know, no, the U.S. is going to be restored. It'll be the nation Yahweh intended to be. No, it's time for you to come home. Stop being a false prophet, Hahnemann. Dutch sheets, and so forth. Stop it. You are not speaking Yahweh's words. We are in the pattern of return now. We're not in the pattern of establishing an America. We're in the pattern of restoring, physically restoring, the 12 tribe Israel And we're preparing the way. We're making the way straight by keeping the commandments. We are the Elijah Spirit. We are the Elijah Spirit. We are what John the Baptist was preaching about in the wilderness, and Yeshua joined him.
Mm.
So Yeshua is coming to join us.
You said it, I didn't. That's all I'm going to go on record and say. You said it first. Not me. So will anybody get me?
Yeah. It's an amazing thing how Israel keeps repeating patterns no matter time. So they never scatter Israel, our home. That praise and worship that we had today, wow, I go in and put it together, but I was thinking about the technical stuff, how, you know, I was trying to mix it so you wouldn't have to up and down with the volume and stuff, I failed, but I didn't understand what I was putting together. I asked the Lord, you know, just imagine, man, I so want to go home. I don't want to be here. I want to be in Jerusalem.
Yes.
Our people in America, in Australia, and New Zealand, and Europe, and wherever they are, South Africa, they should want Jerusalem. Where are they? But they won't come. They don't understand. Anyway, I'm done preaching again.
That's very good.
Well, now we can all say we're all one of the two witnesses because we're all Elijah. It's not just one person, like... People have made that claim before. I'm the guy! You know, and I've seen some of those people die. So, I'm just having fun with this. I'm having fun with it because Jerusalem, there's a lot of people looking there. I'm the Elijah. No, I'm the Elijah. You know, I know the Elijah too.
Both of them are Elijah.
You know,
nobody knows who the other guy is.
I feel homesick.
I get tired of sitting here.
It's not about sitting here for me, Brandon. I just want to go. That's my home over there, and I want to go.
You have to get up to go.
I know, but I can't. I can't go.
How Israel has orchestrated to shut down anyone but Jews coming in is that we're going to have the privilege of witnessing how the Father will orchestrate to put them down and allow to what His will and purposes and intention is for that to happen. Because they can't keep everybody.
It is a beautiful city. It's so quaint. I love the streets. You know, the cobblestone.
I just love to be there because that's where His name is.
Yeah.
That's where His heart and His eyes are perpetually there. Right. Why would you not want to be there? This is what I don't understand about our people, but I don't want to get off onto that because we have a poor portion. Do you have any comments, Rick? Okay, well, let's...
contemplate all this stuff that's been going on last week. It's like, I just feel heartbroken over the people who are trapped now.
They are trapped.
Physically trapped in this mess that they don't even know. They don't know. And I don't know if they even want to.
That's the question.
Yeah.
Well, you know, they will be going into captivity or just to die outright when this thing finally breaks loose, whether it's this year or, you know, 5-10 years from now. It doesn't matter what the timing is, but I can tell you that if it's 5 or 10 years from now, I personally believe that it's going to be a time of upheaval, and we won't even have gotten into the tribulation yet.
Sure.
That's what I said. At the end of Beast Watch News this week, we thought we could imagine, you know, we thought that we had figured out how it would all start. No, look at what's the start of it is this vaccination mess where they're trying to turn people into robots so that they can follow the beast and be controlled by the beast. That is the beast's mimicry of the Ruach, the Ezer in us, but they're controlling it through nanobots, aborted baby, a male Caucasian baby fetal cells in those vaccines, and a software that they are implanting into the proteins in your DNA.
Well, that plus the 5G, too.
And that's what the 5G is for you to be able to receive the messages. So, you know, we are to receive Yahweh's message. He is our strength, our Ruach, our Ezer. And Yeah. And so that's Satan's mimicry of what Yahweh does for his people. This is why we have to stay utterly away from that. Do not take that vaccination. If Mark and Michelle and Alicia, if you did Beast Watch News this week, there's a section in there that you really need to read, because I quoted the whole page on Moderna's website. They have finally published how the mRNA vaccination works.
Well, see, and I think that's part some weird deal of their obligation to reveal.
Yes, it absolutely is.
They have to reveal what they're doing, whether it's hidden or not, and this is more open than the hidden.
Yes.
Okay, Mark.
Nope, it's Michelle. I was just going to just make a comment, and the comment is, I don't care if that's true, if what they're doing with those vaccines true or not. The very fact, though, that they use aborted babies inside of the vaccine, right there is a, no, you're not going to give that to me. I will not take that.
So, yes, because
right there is enough.
That makes you part of the Baal worship, which is Molech. The killing of babies to the god Molech, which is another name for Baal. Molech is his...
I will not take part of their murder. I will not take part of that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Is Luciferus the thing that does the transformation?
I'd have to go back in what I wrote or look it up again to see what Luciferus that's in the vaccination. But it has something to do with transferring stuff into your DNA, I think.
That is a marker to show that you've taken the vaccine. This is the same substance that are in
lightning bugs.
Lightning bugs.
Yeah, that's not
that's what that is. So it's kind of invisible. Unless you have a special scanner, you're not going to see it.
Yes, that's right. Okay. I remember writing about that. It's an enzyme that produces bioluminescence. So they put that in the patch, and the patch makes your skin bioluminescent. So you don't see that patch with your eyes, but when you, or in your forehead, but when you pass by a scanner or whatever, it'll pick it up on your right hand or on your forehead. I wrote about it in the Beast Watch.
Why is it on the forehead?
Because you can put the patch on your forehead.
Oh, okay.
See, I wrote in Beast Watch News about this patch. It's called a, I'm going to have to get the word from Beast Watch, but there's rows of, it's like a fortress, a square fortress, but it's got needles inside of it. And you just put it on like this, and then you take it off. They want to send it to you in the mail.
Yeah. Small little.
I learned that from Beast Watch.
Yes. And you give yourself a vaccine through this.
Yes, I'm going to. I'll keep talking. I'm going to see if I can.
Yeah.
Well, we'll tell you this. I empathize with your grief. I want to go back to Jerusalem. The one Yeshua, when he terraforms that area, changes it, it's going to be way better. So we have got something to look forward to, for sure. Will we get to go back to this version? I don't know, but the new one is going to be red.
Yeah, the it looks like, okay, it's a carex. It looks like a palisade. And the palisade has, you know, it's the, where they take
a palisade is on a fence.
Yeah, so it's like the pickets on top.
The pickets are, they put them at an angle.
Right here.
Yeah.
See that?
Oh, yeah.
But inside, you have all of these inside the perimeter as well.
Mm-hmm. It's like that, you know, that game that kids get, and you put your hand in it, and it pushes the hand out, those pins. This is stationary, so it doesn't move. So these things are micro, and so it pierces the skin. That's what it's designed to do.
It's micro needles. And it was developed by Bill Gates funding to one of the corporations funding. Okay, all right, whose turn is it to read Red Lab?
You did.
Oh, it's okay. Yeah, I read that. It's Cheryl's.
Yeah.
Obadiah.
All right. The vision of Obadiah. So says Yahweh, our Elohim, concerning Edom. We have heard a message from Jehovah, and a messenger is sent among the nations. Rise up, and even let us rise up against her for battle. Behold, I have given you to be small among the nations. You are greatly despised. The pride of your heart has deceived you, dwelling in the clefts of the rock. His dwelling is lofty, saying in his heart, who shall bring me down to the ground? Though you rise high like the eagle, and though you set your nest between the stars, I will bring you down from there, says Jehovah. If thieves came to you, if destroyers by night, how you have been cut off, would they not have stolen until they've had enough? If the grape gatherers came to you, would they not leave gleanings?
How Esau searched out, how his hidden things are sought out. All the men of your covenant have dismissed you to the border. The men who are at peace with you have deceived you. They are setting your bread as a snare under you. There is no understanding. Shall I not in that day even destroy the wise out of Edom? Understand? An understanding of the mouth of Esau, says Yahweh. And your mighty ones, O Teman, shall be afraid, so that each man from the mount of Esau may be cut off by sin. Shame shall cover you from the violence against your brother Yaakov may be cut off.
On the day of your standing on the other side, on the day that the strangers were capturing his force, and foreigners entered his gates and cast lots for Jerusalem, even you were like one. But you should not have looked on the day of your brother, on the day of his alienation, nor should you have rejoiced with sons of Judah in the day of their rule, nor should you have enlarged your mouth in the day of distress. You should not have entered into the gates in the day of calamity. Also, you should not have looked on his evil in the day of calamity, nor should you have set out against his force in the day of calamity. Nor should you have stood on the crossways to cut off those of him who escaped, nor should you have shut up his survey of survivors in the day of distress. Keep going.
Yes.
15.
For the day Yahovah is near on all the nations as you have done, it shall be done to you. Your reward shall return upon you.
For as you have drunk upon my holy mountains, so all the nations shall drink forever. Yes, they shall drink, and they shall swallow, and they shall be as though they have not been. But upon Mount Zion shall be those who escape, and it shall be holy, and the house of Jacob shall possess their own possessions, and the house of Jacob shall be fire, and the house of Joseph a flame, and the house of Israel shall be for stubble, and they shall kindle in them and burn them up, and no survivor shall be on the house of Israel, for Jehovah has spoken it. And those of the south shall possess the mountains of Esau, and the low country of Philistines, and they shall possess the field of Ephraim, and the fields of Samaria, and Benjamin shall possess Gilead. And the exiles of this army shall go to the sons of Israel, who shall possess the land of the Canaanites, to Zephirath. Even the exiles of Jerusalem, who are in Zephirath, shall possess the cities of the south. And deliverers shall go up into the mountains of Zion to judge the mountain of Esau, and the kingdom shall be to Jehovah.
You asked a question, I think we all asked this question, how could they not see what's going on? Verse 3 tells you exactly how they cannot see what's going on. They are deceived, and their hearts are proud. What has been going on for the last 4 years? I'm an American, we're going to make it great again. Trump is the answer to all of our problems. And yet in the background for the last 20 or 30 years that I can count back, this deception has been going on and on and on. And now its fruits are being shown, and the people are now, their eyes are open. They see that they see it. They know what's going on, and now they're terrified. They don't know what to do. They're still trusting in a man. They need to be trusting in Yahweh.
I want to clarify what I said earlier about in the Torah portion. The Nabataeans were not on the scene for a long time. So it's looking about this time in this scripture that Teman is the capital of Edom. And we know from archaeology that Teman is Ma'an. Ma'an is in power and 15 minutes, maybe it's 45 minutes, I can't remember. But it's not far from here. I have some friends from that town. So when they came around, I would have explained any war that they had with them. And the capital would not have been Bazar or Petra at that point in time for Esau. They were not that far north at that point. They moved north later. But this is, if you look at this, this told me that they had a migration pattern from south to north. The other thing is really weird in here. Based on what Rick said, though you rise high like the eagle, though you set your nest between the stars, I'll bring you down. What's weird about Edomites, the Jews that control everything that are working with the Nephilim, they want to live in space. They want to rise high like the eagle, though you nest between the stars, Space Force.
Right.
The sixth branch of the American services. So that's creepy. I'm seeing something there about that.
And of course, the eagle, you know, that's the American state, or the American national bird, you know. So Esau is always mixed in with Jacob wherever he goes, according to Genesis 27, the blessing that Yahweh gave to Jacob was a curse for Esau, because if Esau wanted to enjoy the dew of the heaven, the fat of the earth, and the corn and the grain and all the things that Jacob got, Esau had to go there because the older would serve the younger. And that's going to set up this Edomite thing about that will happen in the end, which is happening now. We have Edomites. I believe they're Edomites. I can't prove that, you know, the people running Jerusalem are Edomites. They certainly have the spirit. Whether they have the physical DNA of Edom, I don't know. But it's interesting to me that Obadiah appears to have been fulfilled when John Hyrcanus conquered Obadiah, Edom. John Hyrcanus conquered Edom in the last known battle between Judah and Edom. He forcefully brought them in to Jerusalem and forcefully circumcised them and converted them to Judaism. And that happened in 135 B.C. By the time Yeshua gets here, those Edomites had already rose through through the system. And now you have Roman Edomites putting an Edomite, Herod, and then his son, Herod Agrippa, on the throne in Judea. The Edomites ended up controlling Judea. There's an end time fulfillment of this, and it's talked about in the book of Amos. It says in Amos 9:11, in fact, this is our scripture. This is where we have decided that we're going to call ourselves the Tabernacle of David Restored. Amos 9:11 says, in that day, that meaning at the end of time, I will raise up the tabernacle of David that is fallen and close up the breaches thereof. I'm going to fix all the problems, which is something that I can say is happening now. I believe that this community, between all the various little fellowships we have here, that we're starting to get our relationships back and get them healed. And I will raise up his ruins, and I will build it as in the days of old. But where? That they may possess the remnant of Edom. Now, in Deuteronomy, Yahweh tells them, you will not make war with the Edomites or the Moabites, because I gave those lands to those people. Yet, he's going to destroy completely Edom, even at the end of days, because there's still Edomites in the world, and if they don't come to Yeshua, they're going to die. And that possession will then become part of the possession of Israel. And so they may possess the remnant of Edom, and all of the heathen, which are the nations, which are called by my name, says the Lord, that do this. So we will possess the remnant of Edom, what is left of Edom, and we will possess the heathen. I've written about this. There are other scriptures that tell us that Israel's inheritance, the nation, kingdom, biblical Israel, 12 tribe Israel's inheritance is to inherit the nations.
I just want to add, an Edomite that believes in Yeshua becomes an Israelite.
Yes. Anyone who believes in Yeshua goes from being a whatever he is spiritually to being part of Israel because of Yeshua.
Yes. So that's how we will possess them. Go ahead, so join them.
There's a lot out there that in America, they think that the that Esau is still here in these mountains. And
he is. But well, what Esau lost here was their nationhood.
Yeah.
As individuals, Ishmael and Esau are mixed together because there was Ishmael and there was Esau. And Esau went over and married two women who were Ishmaelites. And then Esau proceeded to usurp the house of Ishmael. If you look, there's a house of Esau in the scripture. There is no house of Ishmael. Ishmael should have had a house, but Ishmael has no house. Ishmael got subjected under Esau. So, you know, when the Muslims say that, and the Jews say that Islam is from Ishmael, no. Esau is hiding behind Ishmael, pushing him out front because he doesn't want to be seen or blamed yet. But Esau is very much the driving force behind Islam, and both sects, Shia and Sunni, but especially where it comes to the King of North and the Shiite idea of their coming Messiah. He is going to be an Edomite Persian mixture kind of person because the Edomites were up in Persia as well. Because King Adad was captured. He was an Edomite, and his queen went north into Persia, and from there we get Haman in the Book of Esther. So they're everywhere.
Okay, Edom is not a nation, it's a territory. I read this in some article that is reputable, and I think that is correct. Edom was destroyed as a nation, but has come back as a territory. Edom is still here, actually.
Yes, Edom is, if they want to call it a territory, that's fine.
It's an area.
Yes, it's an area. And why it came back as a territory is because it's also the house, safe place house. See, Yahweh said, I'm going to put my people where they were the first time, and this time, you Edomites, you will take care of my people.
And they will. It says somewhere that they will feed us in the very end. They'll be
That's specific to the sons of Kedar and Nebaoth, the sons of Ishmael.
Okay. But it does say in Obadiah, verse 18, that the house of Esau will be a stubble, and they will set them on fire and consume them, so that there will be no survivor of the house of Esau. So they're going to be either converted or
thing. Yeah, that's exactly right.
They'll be destroyed.
Go ahead.
The people will accept Yeshua as the Messiah, and the land will be assimilated into Judea. And then there's no more Edom.
Because I have told some people that Esau is not here. And then, I read that, and I thought, okay, they're not.
Comment before we come to...
Okay, something. What happened is when King Ahaz was rebelling against Yahweh, and he accepted the Assyrian and Assyrian gods, the Philistines and the Edomites started to attack the southern borders. Now, this prophecy was written because that happened. Yahweh is always like this. I used you to attack my people, but because you attack my people, I will turn my wrath on you. So this is the prophecy of Yahweh's wrath onto the Edomites because they attacked the Jews when he had war with the Israelites in the north. And then later on, there's
mm-hmm. Okay.
That's
it. And then people will say, that's not fair. And you can go, Romans 9.
And then you can go to Jeremiah going down to see the potter. And the Lord's saying, I make the vessels. I can use them any way I want.
That's it.
And you have to know why.
Right. Right. So I need to know basis. And I to know. Yeah.
And we trust him that he's doing the right thing.
Yes. Right. All right. So, Alicia, John chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, and then Gary 6 through 10. Mark and Michelle, you take the rest of the chapter.
Is that John chapter 3?
Yeah.
And verse?
1 to 21.
Oh, you want me to read the whole thing?
No.
No. The first 5 verses.
Read 1.
That's what I mean. Okay. And there was a man of the Pharisees. And there was a man of the Pharisees, Nicodemus was his name, a ruler of Judah. This one came to Yeshua by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from Elohim, for no one is able to do these signs you do if Elohim is not with him. Yeshua answered and said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born from above, he is unable to see the reign of Elohim. Nicodemus said to him, how is a man able to be born when he is old? Is he able to enter his mother's womb a second time and be born? Ouch. Yeshua answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and of spirit, he's unable to enter into the reign of Elohim.
Okay, Gary, verse...
Remember, you're muted.
You might be.
Okay, well then, go on, Mark, verse 6.
Okay. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. The wind blows where it lists, and thou hearest not the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it comes, whither it goes. So is every one that is born of the spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? Yeshua answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things?
I tell you the truth. We speak what we know, and we testify to what we have seen. But still, you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. But then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life.
For God sent his Son into the world to end the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doth evil hath the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved.
No, 21.
But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God.
So what is it that Yeshua said that we're there to believe? It says if you believe on him, well, it comes, that word there in Greek is pistuo, and it's strong, G4100. Its Hebrew counterpart is Shema. If you know the Father and the Son are one, then you believe he is God in the flesh. That's the requirement. You have to believe that he's God in the flesh.
Well, he states that.
And no, he states that. But that's what this believing means.
Yes.
And we have in Hebrew root, Messianic Judaism, and in Christianity, those who refuse him as God in the flesh.
And we have so many places in Scripture that says that he is. And that is John 1:1 right here.
Mm-hmm.
That he is.
It's about him being the king, because regarding Samuel, where they said, Samuel, we want a human king. And then Yahweh told Samuel, but I don't reject you as their leader. They are rejecting me as their king. I will give them a king.
He gave them kings. And the kings did all the dastardly things, and he said that...
All of them failed.
Yep.
Every one of them.
Go ahead, Rick.
That brings to mind, the whole thing started way back at the time they were at Mount Sinai. And here they are getting the commandment. And it turned out that don't let hear the voice and the thunder and the fire, see the fire anymore, because we're going to die. That started right then and there, this fear-based decision. Rather than saying, okay, I'm a sinner and I repent for what I'm doing right now, they hid them. They did exactly what we're saying that they're not supposed to be doing. They hid themselves from the light so they, their deeds would not be exposed. They were evil, wicked people. And they didn't want to be. They don't want to be exposed before God. So therefore, their problem with God started back then at Mount Sinai. Then he's just bringing it forward to the present. He said, "I am the light. I am the way, the truth, and the life. You have to come through me before you can see God. Not anything else." So this is a counterpart to that, saying, you said this, and here I am. I am the one that I said I was going to be here, and here I am. Now you don't want anything to do with me?
Well, they were right.
Yeah.
Had they allowed the Lord to continue, he intended to do then what he did 1,500 years later in the books of Acts when in the temple, the tongues of fire, the ruach, mm-hmm. fell on them. He was going to do that at Mount Sinai, but guess what? You have to die. You have to subjugate your spirit. You have to kill off your ego. You have to kill off everything about yourself in order to have that ruach operating in you. And people don't want it. They don't want it.
They don't want to give up their fun.
Right. They just don't know how fun it is, though.
Yeah.
When we allow Yahweh to rule.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, go ahead.
Don't think that I'm so ignorant. But, verse 13, can you go back up? You know, there's been a lot of people say, when you die, you're just asleep until Yeshua comes and raises them up. Okay. But then there's some that say you go off immediately to heaven. Well, in verse 13, it says, and no one has ascended into heaven, but he who has descended from heaven, even the Son of Man. So I thought maybe that right there is evidence that you don't go straight to heaven. Is that correct?
That's the verse, yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Well, I had not noticed that before.
Lazarus and the rich man.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Is a prime example. Tell me.
Well, and a lot of them say, you know, that's...
Well, it is.
Oh, it's a Jewish visual, too.
Well, it comes out of Enoch.
Yeah.
Because Enoch says that there are two holding places, and there's a great gulf between them. There's a place where the wicked are held and a place where the righteous are held. But they're sleeping in both of those places. At different times, they will be resurrected. The righteous will be resurrected with Yeshua. But at the end, after the millennium, the wicked will be resurrected, and they will face the great white throne judgment. Some of them will be given eternal life, and some of them will be given eternal damnation. But those are Yahweh's judgments. We don't get to make those judgments. We don't get to make those judgments to each other.
Apparently, it's the Son that judges. So that's the Son that Yeshua was.
Right. But when Yeshua came this time, he said, I didn't come to condemn or
back
to
then,
make a judgment. He was coming to do this. He was coming to do the chassad, reach down. He literally came down. He was Yahweh's right arm coming, not just to extend to the, you know, the children crossing the Red Sea and all the other ways that he gave his right arm. No, he's chassad, walk the mercy, walking on the earth now. This is another way that chassad is, you know, Yeshua being merciful. Our response is that reciprocal, taking his hand, chassad, and us doing our mercy or our kindness and justice back to him. Because chassad and chesed and mishpat, justice, go hand in hand. So, actually, this is a mercy walking here. And that mercy comes before punishment. You don't accept the mercy, you're going to get the punishment. That's the meaning there in this week's Torah portion. They keep being rebellious. They just keep rebelling. And he keeps giving them more and more punishments. Oh, by the way, we have that pattern in the tribulation. The punishments get worse and worse and worse on the earth until we get to the tribulation.
It's not a parable. It's a literal story. And they were talking to each other. So what is asleep? Well, without getting too deep into the occult, you're not always here when you're asleep. So where is there? And where is heaven? Where is it that Yeshua is talking about? Where is that? How do we get it? That's like a whole other dimension.
Yeah.
You know?
It is.
And well, where the Father is, we haven't been up to that vibration or electromagnetic sphere. Who knows what it is? I don't know. I'm just throwing darts. And nobody's been to that point. But what is up, Joker? Do you go up when you die or go to the ground? Is that down or up? And then if you're asleep, but they're talking to each other, no, you can't go over here. No, but I'm thirsty. You ever been thirsty in a dream? You ready to go to the bathroom? And you ever to wake up in the middle of that? That was scary. You're still alive in this, in that sense. You're not just, I'm evil. What are you doing? Oh, I'm good. I'm good. There's another type of existence, a consciousness that's going on. But it would be equivalent to what we would look at in the physical world as sleep. Like, he's not dead, he's sleeping. Oh, this guy's out of here, right? They even made fun of Yeshua, you know, about that. But what is it? Where do we go when we sleep? What are these other dimensions? Where is the fog? Like, it's just so much we get to find out that we find about this stuff. But I'm just admitting that, yeah, they're asleep because they're dead, but where are they and how is it they're talking to each other? There's some kind of consciousness going on, that's what, no matter what.
Well, the flesh fell down. Flesh. But why? Why aren't we collectively as a people like that? Why don't we just accept it?
Accept what?
The reality, the truth. I mean, the churches are full of people. And some of the things the ministers say are right. But how many are listening? I mean,
the question actually is, what does verse 19 mean, because their deeds are evil? And where do we get the definition of what is that evil?
Lawless. I like that, because I look at all these Instagram posts sometimes, and believers, and I get them, and they're like, oh, and they're saying a lot of, whenever you don't know Torah, you say a lot of things that are actually right and accurate, but that's kind of like building a house without exactly knowing how the foundations are. And so it can get skewed because you gotta stop sinning. I read the stuff. Jesus is coming. We're in hell. You need to repent. You know, stop your sin. If you're a believer, you gotta stop doing the sin. And then they're pointing all this New Testament stuff about don't do this and that. But I always just want to get on there and I don't, because I know it's gonna create problems in my life. But people I don't know. What is sin? What is the definition? Where do we find a cohesive, coherent? And you know what you're going to get. You're going to get the confusion. Because you're, well, it's, you know, it's, right? And it's, we've got to know everybody that knows, we've got to love people, love God and love people. Well, what does that look like? Well, you're nice to them and you act like Jesus did. Well, what did he do? Well, see, you go too deep on that, it falls apart. You know, like any story that doesn't, that's not cohesive. So, I so badly want to say things, but I don't know how people do. You're a legalist! That's like, no, I'm not being a legalist. I'm telling you, if this says that this is what sin is, and you're telling somebody, you can't do that, or that's wrong because it's demonic, but that's not in the Bible, what is it that you're doing? You know? So we've got people who are like, if you know, we've got people that have, it's wrong. We have a lot of people that have sexual issues with pornography in the church. It's not right. And so I see all these posts of like, you know, you got to stop doing that, you got to be like me, because I'm successful. But they're not following the Torah. How much weight does it carry if you want to become a teacher of ministry that specializes in something like that, or a drug and alcohol addiction or anything, but you're not coming back to the foundation? What is this? What is that? You know, and that's why there's all that confusion, because everybody's trying to lay another foundation that no man can lay, which is Christ Jesus, from the Torah. And just, I see it every day.
Jude 1:11. And gave themselves up to the error of Balaam for reward and perishes and garnishing of Korah.
Gainsaying.
When you go and create a religion that teaches you different than what the kingdom is about, that's evil. And that's what happened with Baal worship throughout Israel's history, as I'm discussing in my King study. That's evil. That's what Yahweh see as evil. Teaching something different than what he gave. We call that religion.
So honest question is, well, what about these guys that did that? It's scary. Some of them aren't really born again. And then that's what he said in Matthew 5, what Yeshua said, who least in the kingdom, a lot of the people do in this.
I have a lot of Bible cards. Several are in. They're not teaching any. They're the only scripture ever published. We never needed to follow. So, is that what it means when we talk about people that, yeah, they'll still be there, but they won't be.
Still be the least.
Yeah, but at least they'd still be.
If that's the thing that makes sense, it's going to be. Because we, all of us, all of our money, what we cannot do. We have to skip that. Most of us here spent a long time in church and sitting around with all these people who are giving money to these chuckleheads. We were even part of the system, knowing that could be us. Just kind of sitting there going, oh, where's my bullets? We got to go save Trump. Not getting it at all.
Okay, other comments from today's Bible study before we end our Bible study? We're to be overcomers.
I can't find the verse now, but in Jeremiah, Yahweh speaks about the useless shepherds that scatter his sheep. Now again, if you don't teach kingdom, you're teaching two house. And if you teach two house, you're scattering the sheep.
Yeah.
That's the reason why I'm against both Judaisms, all forms of Judaisms, and all forms of Christianity. All of them scatter the sheep. They do not teach 12 tribes coming together, creating the kingdom.
Well, Christianity probably doesn't even know that. Well, neither. Well, I didn't either.
Well, they teach against it because the Mormons teach it.
Christianity is church, and the
church is Christ. That's them.
That's
the replacement theology.
Oh, I believe it. And it wasn't taught to me specifically. It was permeated in thinking over time. And somewhere, you know, it was said somehow, but I mean, I remember that's what I remember. Because I was taught that, and they knew better.
And the Jews have their own replacement theology. They rejected Yeshua for saying he came to restore 12 tribes.
Yes.
So even before he was born, they had a theology that said Ephraim will never come back. Ephraim will never be allowed to come back. Rick has heard that out of a mutual Jewish friend's mouth. Ephraim will never be allowed back in.
So it's just like
so
the church being Israel.
Yes.
Yeah.
So Jews think they are Israel, and the church thinks they are Israel.
In the meantime, they are scattering Yahweh's sheep.
They're scattering Yahweh's sheep.
Israel is.
And what it looks like in the scattering is, you know, you start out with Catholicism, then you have a Protestant Reformation, and then the Catholic Church starts to split between certain, you know, and then you have the Jesuits, and you have the Charismatic Catholics, and other Catholic sects that happen. And then how many Protestant, okay, 40,000 Protestant denominations. That's the scattering, the splitting, that's what it means.
Well, is not the Catholic Church, though, the insertion Satan's? Because they don't worship.
Well,
it's pseudo.
Well, Catholicism is an Edomite institution. Rome was called by the Jews way back even before Yeshua was born. Rome was called Basra, which was the capital of Edom. They called it Basra because there was a war in which the Edomites, who, true to their blessing given by Isaac, would live by the sword, they became mercenaries. So in the war between the Greeks and the Romans, in that Hellenization process, they went up into Italy to fight there. Okay, but what happened was, they pushed the native Italian population north. And I'll tell you a story about how I know that. So I used to ponder over it. I have a friend, his name is Mark Rossi. You do know that's an Italian last name, right? But for all the world, the man looks like an Irish person. Blue eyes, reddish skin, red hair, you know, light skin. And I said, Mark, what is this? And he says, well, I'm Italian, but I'm Northern Italian. And then he proceeds to tell me the history of about these dark-haired, brown-eyed, brown-skinned people that came in and fought during the Hellenic Wars. And then they just took over southern Italy. Oh, wait a minute. That's what they did when they went to Mount Seir in Genesis 36. Esau and his sons, they went over there. They started having families. And then he had grandsons. And by the time he had grandsons, well, they owned 7-Elevens and the, you know, the Super 8s and the Circle K's and the, you know, all of that. And they were good neighbors, and they got in the government. And pretty soon, what you know is they had a war with the Horite king and his sons of Mount Seir. And that takes up three verses in Genesis 36. And now we have kings in Edom. They took over in Edom, and they went up and they took over in Rome. Now, they have not been able to conquer the house of Israel or the house of Judah. So, by Babylon, Persia, Greece, or Rome, they just couldn't get rid of that Jacobite family. So now what do? Well, we create a religion. We create Christianity, and we create Judaism. And we trap them all right in there, because those are Edomite institutions and Edomite religions.
This explains something that I tell people here. I said, you know, if I didn't know any better, I would have swore I was in Italy. Because the way they act here, it's no two cultures. Other than the religion part, you know, the Catholicism is really heavy in Italy. The word here is Islamic. But the family structure, the building structures, there's more color here than there is there as far as the styles and stuff like that, and the architect. But as far as the family structures and how they handle things, it's the same.
It's the same in Mexico.
Other than,
same
it was probably this, well, yeah, that would make sense. But they were infiltrated by the same people that were here. There, which you just explained, same thing. They had a war, and it's probably the same people are down here in southern Jordan, not so much in northern.
And I'm going to admit to you that the reason why we have an Islam is because there were people from the church in Rome who came south and said, you know, these people are nuts. There has to be a law. They've done away with there being anything in the law. They came down. In fact, their own literature, Hassan, gave me a booklet to read, and that's exactly what they said. There's things in the law that Christians are not doing, but we need to be doing them. And so let's have, there was Christianity going on down here. And so then, you know, Christianity is responsible for creating Islam to be the legal side. But they twisted it because they didn't understand it. And Islam is still twisted. If you look at the laws in Islam, some of them seem so close to what the Torah says.
Oh, yeah.
And yet, they're off just enough to get you going on the wrong path.
Yeah.
So Islam and Christianity are also sister religions.
Yeah.
There's three sisters. There's the sun, the moon, and the stars. Christianity, Islam, and Judaism. And those are the three that the Lord said, don't make these images, because if you do this, you will worship the sun, the moon, and the stars. Oh, by the way, we now have three religions based on the sun, the moon, and the stars.
Islam, Judaism.
Yeah.
They call
it. All right.
Alicia,
Yes, I wanted y'all to know I'm half Italian from the southern part of Italy. My mother's from Naples. Her name was Fragagnano, very much Roman Catholic. And I also wanted y'all to know that everything's falling into place, and I'll be making my way over there to join the group.
Wow! Praise
God! Yes, it's all falling into place. My son got him a new house, and his four children now have a yard to play in, and all. Everything's just falling into place so I can leave. And he even told me yesterday, he said, you don't need to check your credit because you're 72, you're old, and besides, you're going to Petra anyway. That's what he said.
Well, praise the Lord. Thank you for telling
And your
that.
Passport's coming any day, I think.
Yes, indeed. But February the 10th, please keep that date in mind. I have to go, if they don't drop the DWI, which is ridiculous, then I'll have to go to court February 10th. So either way, I have to wait for that. Unless my attorney, and pray that the DA will just drop the charges, because, you know, it's ridiculous. I took the breathalyzer four times, and the officer didn't even have his little camera on. So, you know, whatever.
Well, I'm glad to hear that, Alicia.
Indeed. Going to be a change when I come, y'all. I don't mean as in the study or nothing, but I'm extremely bold.
Good.
Yeah, we love you.
All right. Any other comments before we close the meeting?
I just enjoyed it so much. I'm just saying to Rick, it was very good. Yeah. Well, I mean, it always is. But I do like how things order that you do your preaching first. And then have the new
one. I like that way too.
Yeah.
Thank you, guys.
And you can preach.
Thank you.
Yeah. I mean, you're called to that.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Abba Father, we thank you for that you allow us and you let us keep your Sabbath, that we are honored with even knowing about your Sabbath, because so many of you do not know. And I thank you for everyone in this room and all said yes to doing it your way, to following Yeshua in Yeshua's footsteps as he followed in his Father's commandments. We thank you for him. We thank you for his redemption, his salvation, and all that he does for us. All of our provisions here and for our people online. And I just pray that you will bless us in this week and be with us and bring us back together all safe and sound next Shabbat in Yeshua's name.
This has been Kimberly Rogers Brown from TheMessianicMessage.com. Thank you for listening.